And now the Hurricane Spectacular continues.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Chapter 15, Etouffee Brute.
Gosh, okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put her on.
That's a fact.
And we concluded that to step back now would tear the country apart and result in mass killings on an unimaginable scale.
Damn you! I thought you sucking the life out of me! I think you wanna check all your messages. You better pray to your gods in the sky. In your pocket for a miracle, cause you're going somewhere when you die. Now keep in touch with the soul of disaster, cause it's gonna come down so hard. I was smoking on a cigarette, I waiting on a plane, when I saw reality just going down the drain. I'm climbing up the minarets, hiding in the den. That four-way Diablo is coming back again.
Someone is coming to open the city to us.
Oh, yes.
Governor Barber, can you bring our audience up to date on what is happening in your state? How many deaths?
Don't be ignorant. I told you they was flooding this valley so they can hydroelectric up the whole darn state. Yes, sir. A veritable age of reason. Not a moment too soon.
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.
I'm going to the mayor and demand action.
Duke Newton.
The city of New Orleans will never be the same.
We're on the verge of anarchy.
Sir, there's an unruly mob to see.
Mr. Mayor!
People are dying. They don't have homes. They don't have
chocolate.
For God's sakes!
End of the month, they're out of food.
I'm at the point now with lickety-squick.
We'll be chocolate at the end of the day.
Everybody's promised.
No, that ain't it!
Chocolate.
Under false pretenses.
That's the chocolate I'm talking about.
Sakes.
Mayor?
Lying piece of sack of sh**, slut trash can, scummiest dirtbag, bitch!
But that's a small majority of the people.
We prayed to God. Surely he's not
approval of us being in Iraq.
What?
That mayor is a shell, a mere husk of a man.
The people will vote for an alcoholic hillbilly. They'll vote for anybody.
I've been reading about that Bush. What's going on with that Bush mess?
I said I need everything, and they sent one John Wayne dude down here that can get some stuff done.
He tells the mayor when to jump and how high and often where to land.
And his name is General Disaster.
Gulp.
Yeah, that there's the only known picture of the general. Can't see what he is exactly. He's freakishly big, though.
Yeah, but how big do you figure?
I find that funny because there's a gentleman in the room right now. I actually asked to come in. General Disaster.
Ever so big.
And he came off the doggone chopper, and he started cussing, and people start moving. And he's getting some stuff done.
Look at the size of him. He's enormous.
Sizing everything the size of him.
I know I'm hallucinating, and I think I do a pretty darn good job of it.
He was almost 8 feet tall, foul-mouthed and cocky. The tall man had a .357 and a trailer spike.
Who is that one?
Bonnie.
George's kidnapper, Jack, the man who'd snatched him off the street as if he were a wayward toddler. The president? Brown, too? The president. And Brown of the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
One of the lessons that we need to learn from the Superdome is that we have a problem, President.
The kidnapper laughed.
We got so long before Mr. President to mean a lot.
His voice was a rumble that fit his size. Brown winked somewhat mechanically at the man with the rope. You could tell they'd worked together before.
I never like to say I told you so.
Brown paused and looked round.
But I told you so.
The kidnapper brandished the rope. What's the rope for? Good question, Jack said, but gave no explanation.
Miss, you know about Bush? Child, everybody that can read know about that prejudiced Bush. He the one who got a Klan.
With every passing moment, the creep was getting farther away.
Where is he now?
Whence his wandering feet take him, he knoweth not whence, as the wanderer's wanderlust.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes.
Cold water. Great idea.
President George Bush waded into troubled waters.
Pool hopping!
Back up!
On a single speck of a very pretty wreck, just another rock lost in the skew. Whoa, metal on metal, will it ever get better? And I wonder if we really want it to. There he stands at the edge of the world, watching the spaces go by.
Standing in the rubble of Hurricane Katrina, surrounded by danger around the clock.
He rubbed his cheek along his forearm, smelling the acrid scent of salt and sweat and the staleness of dirt. There were miles of vague water at his right, as awful as the shaft of a pit.
I could live in the sea. I'd make friends with a whale. We'd live in a sunken pirate ship.
The expression of pain returned to George's face.
There's no turning back.
He scanned for nothing in particular.
We have a long way to go.
George had neither the ambition nor the energy to be a predator in the classic criminal mold.
Yeah.
He saw himself strictly as a canny opportunist.
What?
He wouldn't endeavor to commit a first-degree felony back on the mainland. Then we find a car, unless the moment presented itself.
Hold it, hold it. I think I hear people.
He believed in serendipity. Because it suited his style of minimal exertion, the sorry son of a bitch.
By that I mean stand on the highway with your thumb out.
George stood by the turnpike.
That's a hitchhiker.
Pick him up.
No, what if he's crazy?
And what if he's not? Then we look like idiots.
We're not picking him up.
Oh, yes, we are.
I just don't think it's a good idea.
And I think it's the best idea I've ever had. We're picking up the weirdo, and that's final.
George stood by the turnpike and flagged down a Cherokee.
You okay?
She peered expectantly into the night. George gimped to the Cherokee with the intention of killing.
Give us your goddamn car, he wheezed.
Yes, sir.
Don't stare at me like that.
You can always depend on the kindness of strangers to buck up your spirit.
Where's the Johnny Red?
A stranger, just a friend you have in there.
wonderful experience seeing you all.
Are you excited about all the quality time you're going to get to spend with us?
It was 45 minutes on the highway before they summoned the nerve to ask the one-eyed man what he was doing. What is it you're after? George configured his crooked jaws into the semblance of a grin.
Getting $2,000?
He muttered that his name was George Bush and was silent again.
Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
Am I what?
He flashed a conspiratorial grin at the other two.
I don't know why people say that.
His profile reminded her of a miniature Tyrannosaurus.
Look at me! I'm a T-Reagan.
Mom, the president's squishing me!
The silence continued, heavy and full of shame.
Look, you know, let me talk to the workers. You got a question, sir?
I think the bravest people in South Louisiana are the ones who are walking around with a FEMA shirt on.
What's...
He looked from face to face. Then...
I asked you here today to discuss something of great importance.
What do you mean?
He held out his hand and twisted the fingers into a fist.
People need to remember, George W. made a lot of sense.
What?
You're trying to throw the monkey on the backs of the disconnect. The disconnect was Hurricane George.
Gosh, okay.
You answered.
Yeah, we're all called to serve the same good purposes in our nation's history.
Forget our nation's history. What about our nation right now?
Wayne Dunn.
No, the country's falling apart. People are losing their homes. They can't find work.
Wait a second. How'd you know about that?
You talk about ignorance. You're the ignorant one.
Why? And
you've ignored the voice of the people.
He forgot what he'd been driving at.
This action on my part led to a rather loud and defiantly boorish roar of protest from the collective workers, who began to regard me with sullen eyes.
We lost our jobs because of your budget cuts, President.
Al-Qaeda's...
And we lost our home because of your economic downturn.
George got very nervous.
You don't like me?
He doesn't flip my trigger.
What? I got a lot on my mind. I don't need this.
A siren drowned her reply, which she punctuated with a familiar hand gesture.
Oh, who gives a frog's fat ass?
You promised her the place was safe.
It's none of my business what your private life is like.
All those poor people.
You got a question, sir?
How can you stand it?
He licked his lips.
It's an interesting question.
How the hell do you sleep nights?
Let me put it to you this way. I'm sleeping soundly at night.
Holy mackerel, what a line. Shut up, will you?
George's voice lifted into the whine of virtuous recrimination.
I got 4 more years. I've got more to do.
Why?
She asked him.
To continue to raise standards.
Gracious.
George was cowling in the gloom.
I'll ask you once again.
You're like a head cold.
You would think, George.
You would have
thought this thing through.
Serious? You're serious, aren't you?
Apparently you did.
But I never did.
That's a fact.
Dumb, George paused, wiping the sweat from his face.
Insanity.
George opened a flashy, hand-tooled wallet and gave her $2.
Here's some help for you to go get an education. Better intelligence.
Awful man.
George sighed, sensing the rising antagonism.
Huh?
His fist clenched, gazing solemnly from one to the other.
Well, why the heck didn't anyone tell me this before?
Pull over, Wayne.
What?
Our car.
Damn, disgrace!
What's
made a travesty of the entire
evening?
Make sure you vote for me. Goodbye.
Well, he wasn't too friendly now, was he?
In the meantime, it was the middle of the goddamn night.
This is going to be lousy. Walking along a secluded road.
And the bunged up eye throbbed.
Fool me once, shame on you. And fool me twice, and you can't get fooled again.
The sorry son of a bitch stood by the turnpike and flagged down a truck.
Ain't no one gonna pick up the filthy, unshaved hitchhiker.
Shut the hell up!
The know-it-all who can't keep his trap shut.
My God, what is that?
Hey! George shouted.
It was an old Chevy pickup. 3 men in the cab, 4 others sprawled in the bed. They were from Tennessee.
They're hunters.
What are you looking at, Grandpa?
Pardon, Junior Ranger?
George wasn't crazy about the odds.
Who are you?
Through clenched teeth, George said,
I am the president.
President of what?
It's an interesting question.
I thought you were dead.
I don't know why people say that.
I understand you got some domestic problems.
Why
you come down here?
What's...
Got your tongue.
Cat got a tongue.
And
he wanted to explain how people were never quite what you thought they were.
You're losing your touch, George.
George shrugged unhappily.
I mean,
oh, shut up!
I'll tell you what, I don't like this boy's attitude.
Yeah, we gotta teach him some respect.
George and the parody were so funny that the hunters began to laugh, and the laughter rose to a gale of hysteria. George muttered,
You're getting squeamish, honey.
He said, look, let's...
You're gonna kill him, but don't torment the poor son of a bitch.
Oh, we ain't gonna torment him. We just gonna brown him a little bit.
We have faced danger and trial, and there's more ahead.
George drew himself up. He looked at the hunters.
I'm giving 48 hours to get out of Dodge, okay?
You know what my old man used to say?
Hmm?
He said the only good engine's a dead engine.
Why wasn't I told?
They laugh at Bush.
What do you think of that, boy?
George said hell under his breath.
Talk, you miserable redskin!
Don't shoot!
Goddamn redskin!
The man said, waving the .357.
Oh, right there. Oh, that's good.
George's mouth formed an O of surprise.
Hurry up.
And the shoes. I want the shoes.
Yes, stupid son of a bitch.
Slowly, pretty boy. Yeah, you're a pretty boy. With a pretty pair of shoes.
The buzz from the hunters was one of admiration at his handsome behavior.
Who's a savvy one, ain't it?
You've got a pretty mouth.
Huh? I've never seen Bush with a look of terror on his face like I've never seen before.
I've been too swell, I can't. Well,
It went on quite a while because I established a strong personal bond.
Never even made it to town.
Gotta get down there, boy.
You! Hold still!
You!
Are you deaf or what?
Huh?
Hey, come again. What the hell you think you're doing?
Now what?
Five men with sheets on their head come out of the cotton fields. White sheets and white hoods over their heads. And they all are wearing black shoes.
Oh, these are my people.
One of them's carrying a shotgun.
Yeah, my people.
Ooh.
You're an abomination.
Looks like we got us a Mexican standoff.
Now the fun begins.
Just trying to spread around the joy.
It was an interesting twist.
Or was it?
You know, it's innocent fun.
Oh. I'm gonna kill you!
One of them KKK men yells as he pushes Bush from his back with the butt of the shotgun.
You know, it really put me on the spot here. You know, maybe I'm not as quick on my feet as I should be.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm the president.
President of what?
Somberly, he spread his arms wide.
My name is Bush.
Kill it! Kill it!
The Klan has spent the last 200 years planning to take revenge on you.
Jesus. Hell, George cursed the hurricane for bringing him such misery.
Well, that's great.
The white men raise shotguns in the air and yell, "We want that Bush!"
I mean, that's just great.
George said thickly.
That's dandy.
Bush, quiet.
Yeah, shake him up a little. We'll show him who's boss. Oh, yeah.
A sentiment echoed in harsher terms by the other clansmen.
Hey, no!
Wait a minute.
That clan member has come to his senses.
Who elected you leader of this outfit?
Shut up!
Damn his eyes!
He can't shoot Bush, so he lowers his rifle.
Because remember, I'm the president. I'm the decider.
Then I hear a big splash, and I know my prayers are answered.
Damn!
The KKK beat Bush into the big mess.
It still doesn't give me the why.
The question that the world is asking right now.
Who and what and where and particularly why?
Why did God let this happen?
Why?
Why not?
Flood and hurricane zones proved fertile territories for conversion and recruitment of Klansmen. Less than 36 hours after the killer storm, an experienced team of Klan missionaries was dispatched in the storm's wake.
It's funny, because it's funny because it's true.
Well absorbed.
Lester Maddox, J.B. Stoner, and James Earl Ray, each dressed in a pointy little hood sewn from white muslin pillowcases.
They laugh at Bush, but the littlest country-ass white KKK man...
The hell?
...knocks Bush to the ground.
You are mine,
Pat Robertson said over the wind.
For I am a jealous God,
Pat Robertson, almighty.
What? Poppy's good friend?
Pat Robertson cocked one leg and kicked George in the side of the head.
Ah!
The sound of the blow was sickening.
I belong to a certain secret society. I don't believe I gotta mention its name.
George worked his jaw like a steam shovel.
Can you talk to me directly like a man?
I'm telling you, the smart play is to spread them apart.
George.
All that was visible of Reverend Robertson's squinting visage were his beady brown eyes, peeping through the slits of his sheet.
Why are you being so ornery?
I want the money.
I don't know why you say that.
George looked up, frowning from the complication of leaves.
Hell, you say...
And there's... It requires a expenditure of money that is commensurate with...
I just say, how stupid can you get?
The idiot, George, smiled bitterly at Robertson.
Hey, $2,000?
Right.
Is that all there is?
I mean, you're running the whole show here, right?
What are we going to do about that?
That's an interesting question. How do I respond to,
George paused, wiping the sweat from his face.
Might as well get stabbed in the back all at once, like that guy in Rome.
You say that's kind of extreme, isn't it? Well, yes, it is.
Pat Kleagle Robertson picked up the crowbar, took two steps towards George, and swung at him with all his strength. He went down squalling.
Oh, darn it, son!
J.B. Stoner snuck up behind him, creepy and menacing.
What the hell kind of sissy are you?
I got the question. Immigration.
Donkey! Jew! Papist!
These are people that still want to hurt.
All those smart-ass folks say we come descended from monkey.
Better intelligence.
Well, yeah, it's true.
In the wrong kind of company, boy.
I have no litmus test.
Admit it. Savvy?
Yes, it is.
Echoed Pat Robertson with his pointy little hood. His eyeballs were jumping in their sockets.
The best thing is my batting average.
Baseball?
Is getting to be relatively good.
Baseball seems to take a shine to you.
And it varies with the individuals.
What about Putin?
I don't want to go that far. Hell. The president cut one. I'm telling you. Now, what would happen if he who cut one doesn't wield it in vain, for he is a minister?
Comrade Pooty Poop.
George leaned toward James Earl Ray.
Are you crazy?
Watch a monkey get brains beaten in.
I hear that you are a bright little monkey who can do all sorts of things.
Monkey?
And that is just what we need. We want you to do something nobody has ever done before.
Now, what are we going to do about that? Well, it's very simple.
Use me as a piñata, right?
Said the president guardedly.
Yes.
You have been selected as the designated scapegoat.
You can't make me.
Robertson shook his head.
No, two goats.
Damn.
The president wheezed. Immediately, he felt the whole day go sour.
You're against me now, too. Is that how it is, boys?
He spread his arms wide.
The whole world, God Almighty, now you. Guess I deserve it.
George lowered his eyes in a pantomime of shame.
Boys, I know that I made some tactical mistakes.
The bolting look came into his blue eyes.
If you just stick with me, I got a plan. Believe me, boys, we can fix this thing, and we can get out of here.
Robertson resented this verbal trick.
The Antichrist is going to do lying, and that's just part of life.
You got this Guantanamo open. That'll be all the sobbing over the...
I am in charge.
Pat Robertson, almighty.
Geneva Convention.
I will send George to the cross.
Do what?
George felt a spasm in his colon.
To the cross.
What?
You say that's kind of extreme, isn't it?
What?
Well, yes, it is.
George's final word was an ungracious mutter.
Just remember that we don't use torture in this country.
You ever see anything as wet behind the ears as that?
People with a deep religious faith make the commitment to sacrifice the president.
I didn't sign up for this.
George wouldn't dream of risking his neck unless vast sums of money were at stake.
I can't imagine what it would be like to lose
$2,000.
It pains me.
George decided to leave the Klan while it was still his choice to do so. He thought, forget the $2,000.
Screw him.
It's time to run.
Woohoo!
George raced toward the tree, far ahead of the men.
Can't catch this, doggy!
It's a minister of God to bring about vengeance on the lawbreakers.
Now get him! Thresh!
And by God, Bush was Klan property.
He really is going to put on a spectacular show.
Oh, absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come.
I'm telling you, you know, did a whole lot of drugs in the old days.
Pat Robertson spoke loudly to James Earl Ray.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Who was making a crucifix with fallen roof beams.
And he kept banging, banging, banging on the cross.
With each plonk of the hammer, George's spirits sank. Raising his voice over the racket, George said,
"You know, I hope, I don't want to sound like I haven't made no mistakes. You know, I'm confident I have."
James Earl Ray's hammer halted in midair.
I dug myself out of the depths of hell to stand on my own 2 feet, make something of myself, and I did it on my own.
What? You almost had me.
Whatever.
Ray bent over the crucifix and went back to work.
With my axe?
Reverend Robertson eyed George in a dark, poisonous way.
It's going to be bloody and it's going to be messy. At least that's what I think.
You!
You again.
About that time, here comes old Tibbs the high priest with a fella and say, hey, wait a minute, I got a fella that's subverting the nation. He's heading up a secessionist movement. He's a real rebel.
But California. I wouldn't do that. You know why?
Why?
Because it would be wrong. And,
Tell him what the football might do.
I don't know. I don't know nothing.
Take my advice and get him out of town before this thing explodes in our face.
Pilate is convinced that this man is not leading the kind of rebellion that is dangerous to Rome and wants to turn him loose.
Yeah.
Some people go around like zombies.
And
so Pilate finally agrees to release.
Thanks to Bob Lobotomy. Then Jenkum.
Hang the Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Do what?
In his place on the cross.
No,
so Pilate finally agrees to his crucifixion.
Yes.
There's nothing good about what you do or who you are.
J.B. Stoner muttered to George.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's just great.
George sneered in an attempted bravery.
You see, you seem to think...
J.B. Stoner began nailing the cross to the trunk of a pine. It had been a tall, lush tree until the hurricane sheared off the top 30 feet. Now it was merely a bark-covered pole.
Pole?
Thanks for coming down, George.
As James Earl Ray dragged him to the tree, George cried,
"Don't touch me, goddammit!"
As if on cue.
Lester Maddox appeared with a wet slap.
Yeah, you like that? That feels good?
On the big dork's head with an axe handle. Swinging again and again until he heard bones crack.
And now the Romans are getting ready to quickly carry out justice. They got the crosses all made. They're getting ready to string them up.
George was a great Adolf Hitler.
I don't know why people say that.
He positioned George upright against the cross, his hands and feet meticulously bound to the cross in a pose of crucifixion to minimize the squirming.
And if you get them drinking, then of course they'd go along with almost anything you had in mind.
George began to emit short honks and toots.
With a kind of tied down terror.
Oh, Jesus!
No, don't do that.
No, I'll try harder, I promise.
He tried to hold still, tried to breathe without whimpering, tried to turn ever so slightly to see who the f*** had at least one and possibly both of his nuts in their fingers.
Jesus f***ing hell.
Dear Lord, we pray that you will watch over and always shine your light on our humble servant, George W. Bush. In Jesus' name.
Oh,
Jesus. Amen.
I will not wait any longer. You get on your knees and say, I receive you as my Savior.
Pat Robertson.
Almighty.
George clenched his lips.
I answer to a higher power.
Bring it on. I take you.
George said a prayer to Chungo.
got some bad breath, boy.
Get in some juicy fruit.
George then tried a Hail Mary in the wan hope that traditional Catholic entreaty would be more potent in staving off a crucifixion.
This time with humiliation.
But in my estimation, we start hell right here on earth, and we can make hell for ourselves, and people can try to make hell for us.
George shut his eyes when he saw Pat Robertson snatch up the hammer.
And there will be sturdy wood and sharp nails of hatred holding me ever secure.
He stepped toward George and lifted the hammer. The sight unnerved the bogus president to the point of whimpering.
I must say I am distressed as you are.
George warbled in fear.
Yo, that ouchies, ouchies, ouch.
George felt it now against the soft skin of his palm.
One man named.
George shuddered violently and gulped for breath, emitted a puppy yelp, and fainted.
Nailed it.
How pathetic.
Are you losing consciousness so soon?
You dreamed about escaping. That was all you dreamed about. Escape. At night, running naked down a highway, running across fields, running down riverbeds, always running.
I'm running unopposed.
And always just when Jimmy was about to get away, you'd be there.
I'm gonna kill you!
Jack?
You would stop him somehow.
Jack?
You would just appear and stop him.
Jack.
The moment the cold point of the nail punctured his palm, a bolt of fire passed through George. Crimson spears of light punctured the night. Where was the mighty fist of Chango? George wondered grimly.
That's a really interesting question.
Had the double chicken sacrifice misfired?
The use of birds, and that's when it gets dangerous.
One of the criminals who had been paled in mocked him and said, "Aren't you the Fuhrer?"
George twitched stoically.
"Aren't you the Christ?"
"Gosh, okay,"
he said with a dark chuckle.
"Save yourself and us, particularly us."
"You know, I'm the kind of guy to get inspired by the decency of others. And these folks right here, I've never met them before. They're here for one reason.
Fiery cross."
"And that is it's a remarkable expression. And
do what?
I bring you
a burning cross."
"Hey, we dug this thing out!
Hell!
I hate fire! Careful with that fire now, boy! I hate fire!"
And when the climactic moment came to light the cross, and George Lester Maddox, customarily faced, accidentally ignited both George and Pat Robertson.
You know how it is when you do it fast.
Instead, the frantic Klansmen were forced to save their blazing comrade by spritzing him with well-shaken cans of Schlitz beer.
What's... I was conscious then only of flames, of anger, of the raw smell of George, of a clear view of the outcome.
"Well, I can't think of nothing else to do." George worked his jaw like a steam shovel. His eyes were shot with pain.
"God, send a flood to destroy this wickedness."
George caught in a flash of enlightenment. Then, from far above, fell a blessed mist of drizzling drops of water.
"Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the world is dry. Chocolate rain. Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate rain. Forecast to be falling yesterday. Chocolate rain. Only in the past is what they say. Chocolate rain. Raise your neighborhood insurance rates. Chocolate rain. Makes us happy living in a gay. Chocolate rain. Made me cross the street the other day. Chocolate rain. Made you turn your head the other way. Chocolate rain. History quick gently crashing through your veins, chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again, chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins, chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again, chocolate rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio, chocolate rain. It's the fear your leader's car control, chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins, chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again, chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins, chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again.
Hurricanes strike U.S. coastal areas nearly every year with powerful winds and rain.
Cooling, life-giving, spitting and sizzling on all the small fires around us, blackening the flames to extinction and turning to a smoking ruin, the humped shape of George Bush.
In the meantime, George implored, "Please get this f***ing nail out of my hand." Slowly, he reached across and began to work the nail loose from the punctured palm. The undertaking caused less agony than he'd anticipated. Perhaps Chango had anesthetized him as well. Next, he clenched his hands, flexed his arms, which wiggled feebly at George's silent bidding. So far, so good. Luckily, the wood of the makeshift crucifix was soft.
But it still makes me shudder.
In less than a minute, George tugged his good hand free. The nail pulled out, with only a modest geyser of blood.
Just a little scratch.
The president inserted the hand forcefully between his shaking knees and bit his lower lip to stifle a cry.
Oh, mother.
He rose to his feet.
Mission accomplished.
And finally, when he stood up slowly and stiffly, his face was as hard and tight as wood.
He's always misunderestimated me.
And his eyes were hard.
The great George W. Bush
will be back on its feet.
When he bashed into a tree, George reeled.
I can't explain it, but I think that something's going to happen.
Then suddenly he fell silent and blundered away through the bushes.
He got away from them somehow and made it to that swamp.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. The Colored Girls City. Take a walk on the wild side. 1, 2, 3, 4. Imagine yourself countries. It isn't hard to do that. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Colored Girls City. Take a walk on the wild side. Take a walk on the wild side. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. The Colored Girls City. Take a walk on the wild side. Take a walk on the wild side.
Peace.
But next morning, George's friend, the man with the big yellow hat, was buying his newspaper. Suddenly, he got very excited.
What?
This is George, he shouted when he saw the picture on the front page.
It's front page news.
Quickly, he read the whole story.
This white trash escaped from the authorities. He is wanted for the rape of New Orleans. If anyone sees him, please contact your local authorities immediately.
Quickly, he ran to a telephone booth to ring the hospital.
Operator.
Just a humble bounty hunter, ma'am.
Jack said confidentially.
I am George's friend.
Say what?
Don't let him get into any more mischief until I can take him away, he said.
The big s***,
she said angrily.
We saw him last week. We haven't seen him since.
Oh, I'm nuts.
Jack phoned a police dispatcher with a message.
Hello?
Why, you
son of a bitch! What the f*** were you thinking?
Jack! You slug! You could call in once in a while!
You hear from Bob?
Huh?
Very funny.
The dispatcher laconically estimated it would be 5 or 6 days before an officer could be spared because everybody was working double shifts after the hurricane.
We gotta call you back.
And he hung up.
Game over.
The real game is just beginning.
Jack planned his new face. He made one cheek and one eye socket white, then he rubbed red over the other half of his face and slashed a black bar of charcoal across from right ear to left jaw. He began to dance, and his laughter became a bloodthirsty snarling.
Looks like rain. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Just like the guy who's raindrops are falling. They keep falling. God, falling. Falling on my head. Falling on my head. So I did me some talking to the sun. I said I didn't like the way you got things done, boy. Always sleeping on the job. Man. Are falling on my head, they keep falling, coming down, falling, 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 falling on my head, falling on my head.
But there is one thing I know, this blues they send to meet me, they won't come to defeat me, I won't be long till happiness comes to greet me, happiness will come. Raindrops are falling and they keep coming on and falling on my head.
Falling on my head.
George pushed on, staggering sometimes with his weariness, but never stopping. The usual brightness was gone from his eyes, and he walked with a sort of glum determination like an old man. Even with great care, the best he could do was a stagger.
So far, so good.
George looked up questioningly.
He turned quickly.
Who the hell was that?
Again the voice, this time closer.
Where are you, Piggy?
Jack's voice shouted.
George?
I should have knew, George said hopelessly.
Yeah, twitched as he said it. He did not notice Jack even when he saw him.
Hmm? What?
Jack was advancing from the forest.
Who?
Raindrops sticking falling. That doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me. Crying's not for me. I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, never. Because, baby, I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Nothing's worrying me. Baby, I'm
again the voice, this time closer.
Where are you, Piggy?
Jack's voice shouted.
It was his friend, the man with the yellow hat.
Out of the veil of rain came Jack.
George glanced nervously into hell, and his legs gave beneath him.
Piggy.
A spasm of terror set him shaking.
George.
Jack was advancing from the forest.
Neighbor.
You poop for brains, man! You forgot I have a police radio!
At first he was a silent effigy of sorrow, but then the lamentation rose out of him loud and sustained as the conch.
Bush screamed.
A spring had been tapped far beyond the reach of authority or even physical intimidation. The crying went on, breath after breath, and seemed to sustain him upright as if he were nailed to it. He did not notice when Jack spoke.
Yeah, get ready to play! You freaker!
Jack glowered. Jack smacked Bush's empty head.
End of the road, boy.
Jack sneered at him.
You have eluded fate and you have eluded me for the last time.
George jerked wordlessly on the damp ground until the pain stopped.
What are you doing out here all alone?
It's an interesting question. I don't know. I just don't know.
Jack transferred the knife to his left hand. George's voice rose to a shriek of terror as Jack slashed at him with his knife, and a spot on George's forehead turned red and trickled. Jack giggled and rubbed George's blood over his cheeks.
Packed it all right there. Oh, that's good.
The darkness seemed to flow round them like a tide.
Now it's dark.
Jack, his face smeared with George's blood, hailed George excitedly with lifted spear.
It's Daddy, stupid! Where's my bourbon?
Wild turkey, which was good.
Will you freaking look at me?
And there was that indefinable connection between himself and Jack.
Look, let's...
Shut the freak up!
Out of sheer bladder-shriveling fear, George threw himself down with a wet slap.
He flung himself down at Jack's feet and tinkled on the rocks.
Sweet summer rain,
the kidnapper said.
Like God's own mercy.
What's...
George peered into Jack's fierce, dirty face.
Jack, you're looking good. What's going on? Why are you here? What's happening?
Jack brought his right knee hard to George's crotch.
George sniveled and his voice shook.
George was acutely worried by the unexpected appearance of Jack. The man carried several coils of dirty rope under one arm.
Aren't you afraid of me?
Stooping,
George shook. You're always scared. Jack made a move towards George.
God! Oh, Jesus!
Hey, you want to go for a ride? It's an interesting question.
Let's freak! I'll freak anything that moves!
Jack lugged him towards the trees.
The devil is invisible and undetectable. It shouldn't exist, but it does.
His hands were busy as he talked, tying a hangman's noose in thick orange power cord.
That's why this is necessary.
Jack's face swam near him. There isn't anyone to help you. Only me,
the kidnapper said.
And I'm the beast.
Jack deftly looped a coil around George's head and jerked him. When George hit the leaves and loose twigs, Jack stepped on George's chest and with one hand began twisting the rope tightly on George's throat.
Jack took up a rope, aimed and threw it into the air, and the rope passed over the branch in a single movement. Jack was smirking.
Stay away to heaven. We shall all be by and by.
God damn it!
Who's that for?
God forgive me!
Oh. I don't seem to care about you.
He wore a smile that blazed.
Eyes shining, triumphant, Jack started to pull on his rope. George began to choke and cough. In George's right temple, a pulse began to beat. As Jack was pulling a rope,
we were caught unawares.
George was lifted up by the rope into the air. Come on, dance! Jack pulled the rope, and George lifted into the air.
And lifting George halfway into the air, writhing and fighting to get free,
the Lord of the Lions hung in the tops of the high trees, agonized, kicking with his feet all the way up to the dark canopy.
I have been uplifted by Jack.
Trap. When the gust of wind set George in a humming circle, the idiot George traveled through the air sideways, turning over as he went.
Hey, look at me! I'm turning, and there's no stop. I feel lightheaded.
He swayed, spun, then he struck the trees. Clouds of birds rose from the treetops.
I've got pancaked!
And the tall trunks shivered throughout their lengths when he bumped them.
George gave a cry of terror. Blood welled from his nose.
He began to mutter vaguely.
God, help me. Help me, God. Preserve, protect, and defend me, God.
He could see something happen, a flicker of blue stuff against brown clouds.
We lift our eyes to the broad horizon ahead.
Now a great buffet of wind blew George sideways.
This movement that is threatening.
There was a blink of bright light beyond the forest, and all at once the thunder exploded again.
God!
Suddenly the limb cracked with a sound like a gun.
Damn!
Then suddenly he felt the limb giving way.
What the hell?
Jack looked up sharply as George came out of a crack. The forest became a complication of snarls and crashes and flying limbs, and the plunge and thump of George dropping down hard on Jack.
3 hours later.
The buzzards, the scavengers of the jungle, soaring lower, ever lower, eager to devour the dead or the dying. Kill or be killed. This is the law of the jungle.
George lay quiet, panting, his eyelids fluttering, gasping for breath. He stopped and looked round in panic.
Jack.
He glanced at Jack.
Do I?
But Jack was not there. And for a long minute, there was silence. George caught his breath. He licked his lips. He bound himself together with his will and stood up. He took 2 leaden steps forward. He took a step towards Jack, stood over him. He began to mutter vaguely. George clasped his hands in apprehension.
It's important for you to understand, sir, that...
said George in an appalled whisper.
You know, look, as I said the other day,
George looked at Jack doubtfully for a moment.
Jack,
it was an accident, said George suddenly. That's what it was. It was an accident.
Jack. Yeah. What?
Jack laid flat on the mud at George's feet. Ambushed by Bush.
And so, this is ironic, isn't it? I think it is.
He giggled. He began to look satisfied, and his thumb slid into his mouth. George knelt at Jack's left and considered this unusual problem.
Okay.
He knelt there, his fist clenched.
There's an ideological clash going on.
George felt his lips twitch. He was angry with himself.
I mean, you're running this whole show here, right? Well?
His voice was vicious.
Creeping around. You can talk to me directly like a man.
He glared malevolently at Jack.
No, you heard me.
He squatted back on his heels and showed his teeth at Jack.
But I feel that God wants me to do this.
The desire to hurt,
and I must do it,
was overmastering.
The kick.
And able at last to hit someone,
I must.
George aimed and threw a kick at Jack in the bollocks. Then the supreme sting. George slid, doppled, and landed on the pile of
chalk stick.
His eyes wide with white showing all round, George Bush went on screaming.
George was
stuck, squealing like a pig,
and scrabbled in the splintered six, screaming, and left little but tunnels for further penetration, and compelled him to make the point loudly and again. Indignant, George paused, wiping the sweat from his face.
My worst nightmare, whatever you want to call it.
The bolting look came into his blue eyes.
It took time to defeat other struggles we had.
His words came out in a shout.
To succeed in other struggles we've had, to dominate the world.
and George rose to his feet, rubbed his rump, and blundered away through the bushes.
Neighbor.
The sound behind him made him turn.
Where?
Oh!
Spear slammed into a tree trunk.
Do what?
Jack was recovering quickly.
More spears.
Jack attacks.
In panic, George squealed and ran in the undergrowth.
Oh, fuck!
I'm running.
He forgot his wounds, his hunger and thirst, and became fear, hopeless fear on flying feet, rushing through the forest.
Damn it!
Handicapped by the darkness. He shot forward, swerved as the spear flew past.
Bang!
And then was silent, running. Running desperately fast, he swung to the right. The idiot George bounded twice and was lost in the forest. The thunder boomed again. Jack savored the right of domination.
Stupid freak! Okay, go.
Jack was in charge of the hunt, and there would be time to get to the mountain.
You're like me.
He ran stumbling through the thick sand, looking uneasily at the sky, flinching from the stroke of the drops.
George made it half a mile before he ran out of strength. He stopped on the tea table bridge and doubled over, sucking air.
All over, he was pumped and beaten, scratched and bruised from his flight through the forest.
The truth is, I don't want to run.
Thunder went off like a gun.
This is a big storm.
Boy!
Everyone was surprised. The traffic got all mixed up. George didn't know what to do.
He tried to flag passing motorists.
How you doing over there?
Say that.
But none found room in their icy hearts for a bedraggled, saliva-flecked, blood-spattered hitchhiker.
Thank you all.
When did Nixon was in the White House?
I'm not proud of that. Now watch this drive. Hey, brother, what can I do to show you love?
You ask me.
And you can't get fooled again.
Hell no.
Other hurricane evacuees slowed their cars to observe the lunatic scene, but none dared to stop.
No, he wouldn't be doing this unless my father approved it.
And this is how the man with the yellow hat found George when he came to call for him.
George?
What is that?
George, where you at?
And then he heard someone call.
I've heard the call.
He looked down and saw his friend.
That's great.
The man with the big yellow hat.
I mean, that's just great.
Well-dressed man knows where you're keeping those butt-hiding, huh?
Jack was unaccountably angry.
He was shambling like a zombie across the bridge.
Get out of my life!
Jack looked malevolently at the idiot George.
Well, Clarice, have the lamb stopped screaming?
Jack wore a faint smile. For a weapon, he'd selected a rusty axle.
Hell no!
Immediately after this, there came a gasp and a squeal of pain.
George's face was covered with blood.
And he fell sideways, busying himself with his pain.
George raised his blood-flecked arms toward the heavens, his mouth stretched in the shape of a permanent scream. The president was further dejected to see, framed in the window of the Lexus, a freckled-faced teenaged girl snapping his photograph.
Cam, what is that? Cam who?
He looked wretched.
What a sick world, he thought, when an injured human being becomes a roadside amusement.
I don't need this. I got a lot on my mind.
Not anymore.
Jack's arm came down. George's head opened and stuff came out and turned red. His arms and legs twitched a bit, like a pig's after it has been killed.
The man said, George, I'm going to take you to a big city. You'll like it there.
George did not
move.
That's what I thought. Punk ass.